Today we're going to continue our study that we've been doing in the book of 1 Corinthians. And we started to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 18 to 31, where Paul talks about the preaching of the cross. And the preaching of the cross unto us which are saved is the power of God. That's what we were discussing last time. Now, through the cross, Jesus destroyed the wisdom of the wise and brought to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now, the wise and the prudent in Jesus' day were scribes, Pharisees, elders, and chief priests. They said he was a devil. They said he couldn't rise from the dead. They said he was a sinner. They said he couldn't save himself. They were wrong. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, Paul said, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" In essence, what Paul is saying, where there are gainsayers now, where are the gainsayers now? Today, the wise and the prudent say that God didn't create us, that the Bible is a myth, that men can't be saved by simply believing in the completed work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. The scripture warns us, beware lest the wise and the prudent spoil you. In Colossians 2, verse 8, the Word of God says this, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Now we want to see, it talks about in verse 21 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the salvation of God. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. You see, God will save any person who will trust the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Faith is all it takes. There's no work for us to do. Amen. Because of the cross, Christ is made unto us. Amen. Look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, he says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is of God, is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." So we see then, because of the cross, Christ is made unto us wisdom. Amen. Wisdom. The wisest person in the world is the person who realizes that he must be saved, that he cannot save himself, and that salvation is in Jesus Christ alone. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verses 3 to 6, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 6, the words of God say this, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Amen. Not only that, because of the cross, Christ is made unto us not only wisdom, but but righteousness. You will never have enough righteousness to stand in the presence of Almighty God apart from Christ's righteousness. In Romans chapter 10, in verses 3 and 4, the Word of God says this: "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." So in verse 3, Paul is talking about those who try to establish their own righteousness, their own way, through their works or whatever it may be, their religion, to establish their own righteousness. But you can't do that. Amen. You can only be righteous in Jesus Christ. And everyone that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ receives his righteousness. Amen. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For he made him," now the "he" is God the Father, "made him," that's God the Son, what did he make him? "To be sin for us, who knew no sin." So God the Father made God the Son to be sin for us. And the Son was sinless, but God made him sin for us. And why did he do that? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the only way we could be righteous, is through what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. He became sin for us, and he was without sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. And then in Philippians chapter 3, in verse number 9, it says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness." Paul's talking about himself. "Being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." See, Paul talks about how he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew the Mosaic law inside and out, but he wasn't righteous. He found righteousness in the person of Jesus Christ and obtained that righteousness through faith of Christ. He put his faith in Christ. The law could not make him right. The law could not save him. But faith in Jesus Christ could, and is still the only way for an individual to be righteous in God's eyes. Not only because of the cross, Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, but also sanctification. You see, God is holy, and in Christ, we are made holy. Amen. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse number 11, the words of God tell us, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God." So we're made holy, we're sanctified, we're set apart by Christ. Christ made us holy. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, as Paul writes to the Thessalonians under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." He's telling them the God of peace, he would sanctify you holy, make them holy, set apart for God's use. "And I pray God, your whole spirit, your soul and body be preserved unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. So we see then that because of the cross, Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and then redemption. Redemption. My dear listeners, the only payment that atones for sin is the shed blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else. Don't believe me. Listen to what the scriptures have to say. Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 11, the Word of God says this. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, here it is, we have now received the atonement. The atonement, the redemption. Amen. And then in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians 1, verse 7. Ephesians 1, 7, the Word of God says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And then we see in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Wouldn't you know that the wise, prudent, modern translators have removed through the blood from Colossians chapter 1, verse 14? So again, we see then, because of the cross, Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Now, in verse 24 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul is talking about the wisdom of God. And notice what he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. We see that the preaching of the cross is not our wisdom, but God's wisdom. He makes foolish the wisdom of this world that preaches any other means of obtaining eternal life than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13 and 14. It says this. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Amen. Now, in verse 29 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 31, Paul talks about the glory of God. Let's look at verse 29 first of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Verse 31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now listen, my dear friends, there's nothing that we can do in our sinful flesh to remedy the effect of sin on our life in eternity. Yet, when Christ became flesh, lived a perfectly righteous life and died with our sins in his own body and then rose from the dead, he accomplished the impossible. Now through him, we can have his righteousness. We can have his life. We can have victory over death. And unto them that perish, the preaching of the cross is, amen, the foolishness of God. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, first in verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Notice verses 21 to 23. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jew require a sign, and the Greek seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. And then in verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So, religious people think we are foolish to believe the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is sufficient to give us eternal life. Amen. They have made the cross of none effect by adding or substituting their religious doctrine and idolatry. See? Now, we see that the Jews require a sign. And Jesus gave them the best one they could have, the sign of the prophet Jonah. Now, when Matthew 12, verse 40, the religious crowd was asking him for a sign. And he said to them in Matthew 12, verse 40, for as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He told them that he, as Jonah, was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so he's going to be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. He said, watch, that's the sign I'm going to give you. His death on the cross and resurrection from the dead was the greatest of all miracles he performed while on earth. They looked at this as foolishness, and they're still waiting on their Messiah. So the Jews require a sign, and then we see that the Greeks seek after wisdom. Yet they consider the cross of Christ foolishness rather than wisdom, and so reject it for their own wisdom. Thus, the cross of Christ is a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks. Amen? Now, we want to look at, Paul talks about the weakness of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 25 to 29. We read this, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. In the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, in the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Philosophers, psychologists, humanitarians, lawyers, politicians, businessmen, soldiers, doctors, and the like generally, look at the cross of Christ as beneath them. What they believe and practice and do is more important to them than what Christ did for them. So-called scientists who profess the science of natural processes think we are foolish to believe that there is any power in the cross of Christ. They are wise and we are foolish. Romans chapter 1, verses 20 to 22, we read this. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Amen. Therefore, as the scripture says, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty men, not many noble are called. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. They are wise, mighty, and noble after the flesh. That's the key, after the flesh. They think the cross of Christ is weak and foolish because they see themselves as strong and wise. But God is contrary to them. God has chosen foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Amen. Now, Jesus was a carpenter who didn't own his own home, who had no other possessions at the time of his death than the clothes on his back. He had no formal education. Yet he had more understanding than the doctors. Notice what it says about our Lord in chapter 2 of Luke, 46 and 47. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him. They is Mary and Joseph found him, Jesus, in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And more power, yet he had more understanding than doctors and more power than the devil. Notice Luke chapter 13, verses 11 through 17. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, in them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath. Amen. There are 6 days in which men ought to work, in them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away for watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, here it is, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. So he had more understanding than the doctors, more power than the devil, and left his adversaries, who were the wisest men in the law of God, dumbfounded by one simple question. Notice Matthew chapter 22, verses 41 to 46. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They said unto him, the son of David. And he saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And if David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Amen. He shut them up for good. Amen. He shut them up for good. Now, the weak things of the world they're used to confound the mighty. Amen. Consider Gideon's victory over 135,000 Midianites with just 300 men. Consider David's victory over Goliath with a sling and a stone. How about eternal life through the death of Jesus Christ? Base things, despised things, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. All of the world's accomplishments in science, business, construction, art, literature, medicine, and so forth will come to nothing in the end. The great men of the world will be hiding in fear when Jesus appears. In Revelation 6, verses 15 to 17, we're told, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, and hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The Bible and those souls who thought enough of Jesus Christ to trust him will live on forever. Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Amen. So, don't be impressed. Don't be impressed with the world's wisdom, pursuits, and accomplishments. The wisest thing you can do is trust Jesus Christ and let him live his life through you. Amen. We have so much in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who are saved are truly blessed. Amen. To be saved. To know the future, what it holds for you, a glorious future. We all should glory in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. That should be our focus each and every day. Not on what's going on around us. Not what all the pundits and the spin doctors are saying. Our hope is in Jesus Christ alone. That's where our hope is. That's where our focus should be, my dear listeners. Not what's going on around us. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Amen. Set your affections on the things above. Amen. On the things above, not on the things of this earth, because they shall pass away. Thank you, each and every one, for taking time to listen to the pastor's study today. This is Brother Gino. May God richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.